It's a privilege for me to introduce my brother-in-law tonight. We all know that Brother Gordon has a great zeal to serve the Lord. And I know that he has prepared a message for us tonight. And I would ask that each one of you would listen closely to what he has to say and to see how it applies to our lives. So I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother, Elder Gordon McCann.
Am I on there, Timothy? I'm up back there, but I'm not here. Huh? Well, let's see. Maybe this thing isn't turned on after I dropped it. It says that its power is on. I'm on. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. Okay, well, good evening. Well, we can hear. All right, tonight I want to enlist all the young people. All right. I remember watching Brother Adam when he preached a sermon not too long ago in the evening, and it was to the young people. And really, this is for you. I know you're going to have a week. You're going to vacation church school, and this is kind of like a little prelude to it. The title here says, Young Men and Women of the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And this isn't by any means a stretch of the matter. A complete list. All it is, it's going to be a list that has a common thread. And I think you will be able to see it. And I'm going to bring up a slide, and then I'm going to ask you maybe what you know about the person, and then I'll have some comment as well. The scripture I was thinking about, it's in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the first verse. It's only a part of a quote. My dear sweet wife said this is probably best because I wanted to quote the whole thing and get all complicated because Ecclesiastes was talking about growing old. And a lot of young people have no idea what that means. So, but they do know this. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And that was the focus, that it is good for each one of us when we were younger to be mindful of this as well as you grow old. So, we're going to look at first who were these young women that were in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon. Now, in the Bible, we have Rachel, Ruth, and Mary Magdalene that we're going to look at. And like I said, it's a kind of a common thread. Now, the Book of Mormon, I had to, kind of struggle a little bit there, but the wife of King Lamoni, I know the servant was along with it, but I was a believer, but it's part of that story, but we want to focus on the wife, and then the mothers of the people of Ammon. And I think when we get there, I think that'll make some sense to you. Okay, so the first one was Rachel, a beloved wife. The young girls of the audience. The young girls of the audience. Who was Rachel? Who was Rachel? Do we know? She was married to somebody special. And the guy thought he married this girl, but ended up with someone different. Does that help? Come on, strain those little cells in there. Does it make any sense? Then this man was able to work harder after 7 years, then he worked harder, and then he was given who?
It's Rachel, Jacob's husband.
No, it's the opposite. Yes, you're absolutely right. She was married to Jacob, right? Uh-huh. She was married to Jacob. And when he first saw her, see now, he was told by his mother, you need to go to the family because you're not supposed to marry any of these Canaanites. And when he went out there and he saw her, he was enthralled with her. He really loved her right off the bat. when it was after 7 years, he worked really hard. He said, boy, that time went fast. I'm ready. And he ended up with the older sister because of culture. And then he had to work some more, and then Rachel became his wife. So what I have here, it's the daughter of Rebekah's brother, Laban. Rebekah was the wife of Jacob, okay? Israel. Jacob fell in love at first sight, and Rachel became the mother of Joseph. Like I said, there's going to be a common thread here, all right? So the scripture verse in Genesis 30, 22 through 24, but it's abbreviated. God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and bare a son, and she called his name Joseph. Now, what do you think she was praying about? Just to have a son, or was there a problem with that? Does anybody remember? Guys or girls? Why? What's the special blessing here? Uh-oh, I'm yelling too loud. What was the special blessing? She couldn't have babies. Rachel couldn't have babies. And she prayed to the Lord very fervently that she might have a child. And so the special thing is that when the Lord blessed her with Joseph, who would be a key person in all of our lives, right? We'll look about him a little later. All right, so let's look at the next person. Ruth, a royal daughter-in-law. So what's special about her? Who is Ruth? Her and her sister were married to two sons, right? To Naomi, who was a Jew. But the two sisters weren't. Do you know who? Okay. No, Naomi was the mother. But Ruth was one of those sisters. And really the story focused around Ruth because they both had husbands, right, of Naomi. That in itself was a sin in Israel because guess what? Ruth was a Moabite, which was a mortal enemy to Israel, and was told not to marry those outside of Israel. But during this time, they did. And not only Ruth's husband, but her sister's husband died. So her sister said, I've had it, I'm out of here, right? But Ruth, what did she do? Can you tell by this picture? What do you think Ruth did? Yes.
She stayed
with her mother. You bet she did. She said, I wanted to be with you, right? So let's look at this. So she was a Moabite who married a man who was of Judah. His lineage was Judah. The son was the family, Naomi and her husband. He died, so she stayed with Naomi, her mother-in-law. And she later married Boaz, the great-grandfather of David. Now there's that thin thread. Because what's significant about David, you young people? What's significant about him other than him being a king? What about who came from his lineage? David's lineage. What famous person came from his lineage? Yes?
Jesus.
Thank you, Logan. Jesus. There's that thread. So here is this Moabite-ish, if you want to call it, woman, who was faithful to Ruth, to Naomi, and she followed So here it says, "For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And she stuck to that. She followed everything that Naomi told her. According to the law of Moses, she did what she was supposed to do, and Boaz had no other choice to marry her, and became the great-grandfather of David, to that lineage. Basically, you would consider it a Gentile, a non-believer, right? All right, so the next person, next woman, Mary Magdalene, a devoted follower. Okay, girls, what was special about Mary Magdalene? Come on, help me out here. If the girls can't, maybe the guys can. Mary Magdalene. Well, what was the first thing that helped her in her life? Do you know? It had something to do with, there was a miracle that Christ performed in her life, which started her faith, or down the road of faith. Christ was teaching in the area. She heard about him, and she knew she needed to be healed. So she went to him, and she had seven spirits rebuked from her, right? So the Lord blessed her mightily. Seven evil spirits was cast out by Jesus. Remember when she was in the house of Martha? Where was Mary? At the feet of Jesus, right? What did Martha say to Mary when here is Martha, Mary sitting at his feet, and Martha was running around, you know, cooking and preparing food for everybody? What did Martha say to Mary or to Christ? What was she trying to do for? She was trying to enlist some help from Mary, right? But Christ said, you know, Mary desired the better things of life. And when he was shortly be crucified, she, in the house, in their house, she anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair, anointed them with a very precious ointment. Basically, it was kind of ointments that they would anoint the bodies, the dead bodies, so that they wouldn't smell so bad. It was in preparation, like, for his death. She was the first to show up at the sepulcher with Mary. And she stood around when everyone else left, and Jesus appeared to her after his death. And he said this, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go ye to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father." Her message, her testimony, the thing that she saw, and she ran off all excited with the other women later on, and they approached the men, the apostles and them, the disciples. How did they receive her testimony? Do you remember? They didn't really believe her. No, they didn't. They said, well, it's just some crazy woman. Not necessarily, but they didn't want to believe her. It took a little bit to get them to get on the same page. But she was the one that had that testimony. And that's the special thing about Mary Magdalene. She loved Jesus because she was freed from sin. And she was at his feet throughout his life. And she was there at the tomb when he died. And then when he was raised. What a special woman. Faith. Wanting to be with Christ. Okay, the next person was King Lamoni's wife. A woman of great faith. So who was this person in the Book of Mormon? who was King Lamoni? Was he a Nephite or a Lamanite? Do you know? Huh? You bet. So, the sons of Mosiah, right? They had gone out, commissioned of the Lord through the prayers of their father, right? Mosiah. Ammon went off and came to the land of the Lamanites and came upon these people. What is special about King Lamoni's wife? When it says a woman of great faith, what was her faith? A Lamanite didn't know anything about those things that Nephi and his people understood, the things of God and Jesus Christ, right? So Ammon went there to try to teach them the things of God, right? So he taught them and came very close to them. And at this particular time, you see that king laying there? What happened to him? Remember the story? They were overcome by the Spirit as they were being taught by Ammon in his prayers. And Ammon said, "Do you believe me?" to the queen, because here she sees her husband laying prostrate there. "Do you believe me that he's with the Lord and he's not dead?" Because she thought he was dead, right? But he wasn't dead. He was not dead. So she believed him. She believed the words, the testimony of Ammon. And she found out, he woke up, and he praised God. So the queen of the Lamanites, who was an enemy of the Nephites, believed the words of Ammon, who was the son of Mosiah. They were overcome by the Holy Spirit, and they believed in Jesus Christ. Those are the things you can read. And they were all overcome, right? The queen, eventually the queen and the king, and they were there, and the one servant, a woman servant who believed in God, knew of those teachings, came and touched her, because now there was a whole big crowd and they thought somebody killed the king and queen. And she prayed and touched the hand of the queen, and she woke up and she said these words, "O blessed Jesus, who has saved me from an awful hell, O blessed God, have mercy upon this people." And it was a great conversion that took place. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that conversion later. At that thin thread that goes down through history, through the lineages of these different people, they eventually became a people separated from the Lamanites. Okay, let's look at the next thing here. The mothers of anti-Nephi Lehi, or the people of Ammon. They were women of great faith. So there's a link there, because it was Lamoni and the king and queen Lamoni, and that people, they became a people, but they were ostracized by the Lamanites, those who would not believe. And so they had to go in protection, right? The Nephites took them in protection. And we find that, who were these mothers, and what was significant about those mothers in the Book of Mormon? There was a group of men. Yes. They were part of that. Absolutely, you're absolutely right. The mothers and the fathers of those people that were converted, King Lamoni and his people, those were converted. They buried their swords, but they had children, and I'm talking about their children. They didn't make that same covenant, right? So they played a part in here. Well, the mothers did something. Let's turn. So They were converted to Jesus through Ammon's teachings. They taught their children to trust and have faith in Jesus and given the land of Jershon and protected by Nephites, by the Nephites. And all these things between the young women and the young men, I'm trying to emphasize that they were taught, or they were young, just like you. They were taught the things of God, and they kept those teachings, and it played a role in their life later on. They were part of the plan of God, and so are you. Here it says in Alma, it says, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them, saying, we do not doubt our mothers knew. These were their sons. There was over 2,000 of them in the army that they chose to pick up the arms because their parents chose, made an oath to God not to. And they entered into battle, and there was many, many men who were killed. But when Helaman, when he took account after this great war, that there was heaps of bodies all over, and he looked at these 2,000 men, and guess what? Not one of them had been killed. Not one. And this was what they told Helaman. And Helaman was writing to Moroni, telling him about these young men and their faith. And where did it come from? Their mothers. Their mothers taught them. They said that if they would not doubt, that God would deliver them, saying, we do not doubt our mothers knew. Has your mothers taught you about the things of God? Do you have doubts at times? It's important to understand. So who were these young men? I have Joseph and Samuel and David, and then I have Nephi, Mormon, and Moroni. Again, there's a common thread that we had from the women, or now through the men. Let's start with Joseph. So that should be telling, right? What was that? Coat of many colors? Yeah. So what about Joseph when he was young, when he had older brothers? What was the deal about Joseph when he was young? Yes. He did what now?
He stayed with his father and studied.
Yeah, and sometimes we call it what? Sometimes his father
favored him.
Yeah, his father favored him, right? So if you were an older brother and here's this schluck over here, not doing a whole lot, next to my father, you know, and I'm out there working my hands off, would I be kind of happy with that? Or would there be some jealousy? Would Satan want to kind of tweak me, right? Because he was showing favoritism to Joseph. So what happened? What about this coat of many colors? What happened? What happened to Joseph? Yes. Sure, they did, and took it back to the father, right? Yeah, Abraham. Yeah, so it was a big ruse to say that Joseph was killed. Now, they did refrain themselves. They truly did want to kill him, but the older ones kind of talked him out of that. That probably wouldn't be a good thing to do. Well, we'll throw him in a pit and do this to say that he was killed. So we've taken care of our problem. But did they, right? They didn't. So what happened to Joseph? He was what? Sold into? Yeah, to Egypt. Absolutely. Into Egypt. And by exercising his faith in God, he was used in a mighty way, wasn't he? So let's look at it. favored by his father, hated by his older brothers, sold into slavery, and saved his family, right? Because he became the number two guy in Egypt, he had control of a lot of things. And the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, and their family was suffering without food, and he brought them in and saved them. But there was another thing he was going to do. His descendants, what would his descendants be? Those of Joseph's seed. His descendants will become a multitude of nations, right? Right? That was the promise. And what would the seed of Joseph be used by God to do beyond Egypt? His descendants. Really? To be instrumental in saving the world, right? His brethren again. Bringing the gospel to them. Right? Nephi, who was the son of Lehi, who came out of the land of Jerusalem, who was a descendant of Manasseh, who was the son of Joseph. So Joseph is a key figure, not only then to save Israel from death, he was going to be used, his descendants are going to be used to save Israel spiritually. Right? That thin thread. Okay, Samuel tells Eli, who was, I think it was a high priest, that a voice has called him. So, who knows about this story? This is Samuel. This little guy Samuel's talking to Eli. So when we think about Samuel, he was what? He was a prophet, right? Prophet of the Lord. He happened to be, again, here's this thin line. He was a descendant of Joseph, right? Through Ephraim. His mother couldn't have a baby, so here we go again, like Rachel. His mother couldn't have a baby. So she prayed to the Lord, if you give me a baby, I will dedicate that baby to you. And Lehi, the high priest, heard it. He said, I'm going to keep you to that word. And lo and behold, the Lord blessed her. And she had a baby. And so she told her husband, guess what? When this kid's weaned, I'm going to give him to the priest. So, okay, do what you think is right. And she did. That's how young he was when he was turned over to the priest. And so as he was growing up there, there's something special that happened. He heard a voice, right? A voice that called to him. Let's look at that. So he was a descendant of Joseph's son, Ephraim. Mother gave him to the Lord's service. He listened to the voice of God and became a prophet. And he heard the words. He was told, now listen, because he ran back to Eli and he goes, you know, I heard something, but I don't know what to do. He says, okay, if that happens again, then you answer and listen to him, right? And so it did. And he says, speak. So he heard the voice again, and he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. That was the Lord speaking to Samuel. He became a great prophet. He was the one that anointed David king, right? And he did a lot of other things in Israel, but he's well known. But that thread that goes through the lives of the children of men. All right, so who is this guy? You guys better know this. Who is this? David with the head of Goliath. This is a painting by Caravaggio. So, what about David? Can anybody tell me a little bit about him? Am I boring you guys? You got to help me here. Rebecca, is there? Yes. You bet. That's why he's holding the guy's head. He was, at the time, he was the youngest son, right? Samuel, the prophet, came to the household, David's household, right? And Samuel was told of the Lord that you go anoint the king of Israel. And so the father trooped, you know, eight brothers in front of him. And Samuel said, are any of these them? And the Lord said, no. And he said, do you have another? Well, he's out watching sheep, right? So he went and got David out of the field, and he anointed him. The son of Jesse, who was a descendant of Jesus, that threat. Anointed king by Samuel the prophet, a warrior king for Israel with a great faith in God. And when Samuel was looking at these eight men, or young men, and he was told no, the Lord told him this, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, was David perfect? Was his heart perfect? There was times that there were. But there were other times that he was actually quite wicked. And the Lord had to rebuke him and caused a lot of problems for Israel. But in every instance, he owned up to that. Nothing like what we see today. Everybody said, well, there's nothing to see here. They're all willing to lie to cover their own skins. But David didn't do that. He humbled himself before God. And he was forgiven. And he was an instrument in the hands of God. Nephi, a young man, great faith. All right, so what about Nephi? What about him? I could have probably duplicated the picture before where Nephi ended up holding a head. Who was that? A head of whom? Yes, Rebecca. Laban? Yeah, Laman. I heard Laman. Laman? Yes. Laban. Right? He went back to get the records, and Laban didn't want to do that and wanted to kill him, kill all of his brothers. The Lord strengthened him. He went back and found him drunk. The Lord said, you have the right to kill him. I've given him to you. And he chopped his head off. But he was a young man. What was special about Nephi besides that? Because he was getting the records. What other thing is special about Nephi? Something that we kind of, let me see, we kind of hold some of the things that maybe he might have been part of. What was that? Which one? Yes, Jacob. He obeyed the Lord? He absolutely did. What did he do? Help me. I want to try to give some. Yes, Joshua. He prayed, he did. Hold on, Rebecca. Get a little help first from somebody else. What else did he do? Had to do with this. Huh? Well, he. How did he do that? Huh? Brass plates? He created plates of gold to keep what? A record? The record of the Nephites, right? Yes, Rebecca. That's right. And the lives of his children. And then he passed those records on to another young person that was going to be faithful and kept the record all the way. You realize that, I mean, this is an abridgment of that record, okay? But think about it. The records that were kept, starting with Nephi, around 600 AD, BC, goes clear up to 400 AD. 1,000 years was at work with this. Just this little bit. Now, this isn't all that, but this is the culmination of all that work and labor among everyone along the line, recording, faithfully recording in those plates of gold, right? And then it was abridged later on. So let's look at this. Okay, he's the son of Lehi, who was a descendant of Joseph. He retrieved the record of their fathers, which was, to your point, the plates of brass, which were kind of like the Bible, the Old Testament, right? Mm-hmm. It was, and it had a little bit more concerning the lineage of Joseph. But it was those teachings of Moses and the prophets. And it says, and then he started his own record of his people on gold plates. And he says, when his father talked about what our sister gave a little presentation, right, before our service started, it was Lehi and his family, right? Lehi had these visions. Now, his other brothers and his mother called them visionaries. They didn't want to really believe it. Kind of messed up their lives, right? But this is what Nephi said. I, Nephi, being exceeding young, nevertheless, being a large in stature, also having great desires to know of the mysteries of God. So he took it to prayer. He asked the Lord directly, help me to understand these things. And he received his own vision. He saw the things his father saw. And so he was instrumental in helping that process. Teaching another witness of those things that Lehi saw, right? Okay. Coming close. Mormon. This is an original painting of an abridgment, abridging the plates. Well, you see there, that looks like gold plates there. Mormon, who was he? Who was Mormon back in those days? Who was Mormon that was doing this? Happens to have his name here, Mormon. Book of Mormon. What would that tell you? Huh? Yeah, he abridged it. What he did was he took those gold plates and those records and he abridged them, and then he took things out of it and put it in there to abbreviate the more spiritual things, right, and put them in there. And then he also put in those things that he witnessed at the end of the Nephites. And what was he anyhow? Besides doing that, what was he? He was a great commander, right? Now, what do you think of a man that's going to lead an army? How old do you think a man leading an army should be? Yeah, you'd think. Why? So to be wise and know how to do things, right? Now, this was a life and death situation. That means that the Lamanites were ready just to wipe them out. But guess what? Mormon was asked to be a commander. He was a descendant of Nephi. He was a commander of the Nephite army at 16 years old. And he abridged the records of Nephi and included his record. I, being about 10 years old when he was spoken to of age, Amaron saith unto me, I perceive that thou art a sober child and art quick to observe. And he told him that there are records that were hid away, and that he would, when he was 24 years old, that he needs to go back and get them and then write the story. And he did. But he lived in a really bad time. He was at war constantly, but he still had time to do the other. And so we come to Moroni. Moroni's testimony. Does anybody kind of know about Moroni? Sometimes the Mormons say the angel of Moroni might have brought the plates to Joseph Smith. Moroni's testimony. Let's look at this. He was the son of Mormon. He was part of the army as well. He fought with his father. Moroni witnessed the end of his people. The Nephites were totally wiped out. That's how nasty the war was. Because when you read Moroni's words, he says, you know, I'm out here and I don't know how long I'm going to live. I think I'm the only one left, as far as he knew. But his father said, I want you to complete the work that I started and write those things that you see, the end of your people, and then hide them up to the Lord. And he did. And then he makes this statement, I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies, and God shall shew unto you that that which I have written is true. So he's going to be a witness. Guess what? One of these days you're going to be able to see him at the throne of God. So I've asked Logan, because there's a scripture verse that I really wanted you young people especially to hear, because there's a promise in there. It's for the older ones too, but really, to me, it made an impression on my life. So anyone that has been, a Book of Mormon is given to them and said, I would like for you to read this, but I want you to read this first, okay? And do what this says in an eye of faith. And I know the Lord will witness to you that this work is of God. Okay, Logan, go ahead and read that. Tell them where it's at, where you're reading from.
Moroni 10, 3 through 7.
All right.
It's on page 775.
Okay.
Behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that ye would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men, from the creation of Adam even down until the time that ye shall receive these things and ponder it in your hearts. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that ye would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, and he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the power of the Holy Ghost ye may know the truth of all things. Whatsoever thing is good is just and true, wherefore nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And ye may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore I would exhort you that ye deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men, the same today, tomorrow, and forever.
Okay, thank you, Logan. So I guess I want to ask the question, have any of you young people done that? Have you asked for a testimony concerning it? Are you comfortable with your belief in the Word of God and in this testimony of Moroni? I know when I was told about the Book of Mormon by missionaries, and I don't know if they pointed me in this direction or if I ended up reading it. More than likely, they said, here, read this. And I read it, and I took it to heart. And I wasn't really sure. My grandmother and them, they believed in the Book of Mormon, but I didn't know if I did. And I did this very thing. I asked God in sincerity if it was of him. And he bore that testimony to me that it was by the power of the Holy Ghost. Or I couldn't deny it. Even today. Even through all the problems I had in my life and all the sins and all those kinds of things, I never could deny that this was of God. And it brought me home. I'm here with you today. It's important. You need to exercise your faith in God. And he will answer your prayers. May God bless each one of you, especially throughout this next week. Learn those things that your teachers are going to teach and apply them to your lives. It'll be well with you. May God bless you.